This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
It's time to start the show and talk about the sports we saw. Inside jokes and takes from Danger and Battaglia. Bills and the Sabres and the Amherst. Who gave a microphone to these jerks? G's a big timer, a social misfit. Clueless to the title of the biggest bus gang hits. Yeah. Chuck Muncie's goons have the last say, so thanks for your time, Mr. Mayo. Danger likes his cold ones and he likes his bears. But this is Rochester, Q Francesa.
Normal kiss.
He's critical of Sean, he's critical of Alan.
Of course he married Sandy, cause she's Italian.
Welcome to the sports bar, that's where you are. Welcome to the sports bar, that's where you are. Welcome to the sports bar, that's where you are. With Danger and Battaglia.
Anticipation is growing, buddy. You can sense it. You can feel it. I mean, even the Dandalorian, our super producer, our bounty hunter, the finest audio in the galaxy, he's excited. Everybody's talking about it.
You're not talking about the pen and chase. You're not talking about that. You're talking about Dangerous Chili.
My chili.
Yeah, I knew exactly where we were going with this, because the disappointment for Dandalorian is he's the only guy that can't go to the work function tomorrow because, well, he's got to be in charge of One Bill's Live
tomorrow.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, we'll make sure he gets hooked up. We'll get the Dandalorian a nice hearty bowl of this meaty, spicy, Texas-style smoked chili that is literally on my smoker right now. I mean, I tasked Sandy with one simple thing right around this time, right around 3 o'clock. Do me a favor. Just put a lid on the chili. It's been soaking up smoke for the last 5 or 6 hours. Good. Now let's cover that bad boy up. Let's let it just kind of simmer in the fire. That's happening right now as we speak. If she comes through and does her part, the only thing that has me nervous going into tomorrow, because I'm fully anticipating I'm going to win the chili cook-off. I've got your vote. I'm campaigning hard. Do you like spice? Because it's got some kick. I tried a little bit this morning before I put it on the smoker. I'm like, ooh, there's some chipotle peppers in here, and I know you had an instance recently with the jalapeno pepper.
Well, I ate it raw with the seeds, and that was good memory there. That was actually painful. I want to lower your expectations because I saw the Vegas odds for this tomorrow. You are not the favorite.
Well, it's fine. I relish.
It's Jimmy Stupinski.
I relish the underdog
Jimmy
role.
Jimmy Stupinski is a multi-time winner in this, yeah. And he comes up with something creative always. I think it was a cheeseburger chili. It's something wacky. So whatever he has concocted, he's excited about this tomorrow. That's your main competition, bud. And well, Jimmy is a sales guy. Yeah. He's going to be campaigning hard for this.
Understood. I understand. Every now and then, you the rookie comes in. And Jaden Daniels going into the chili cook-off. You're not really expecting much. You know, it's my rookie season. I think I submitted once for a chili cook-off here years and years ago. Mm. I've altered. I've upgraded. I'm feeling pretty good. Except for the spice part. Because I know spice isn't for everybody. And I'm wondering, we're doing this with our friends at Three Heads. They're our gracious host tomorrow for our chili cook-off. I'm wondering if they serve milk. I don't know that they serve milk at Three Heads.
No.
You might have to go across the street.
It might be. Yeah, we'll see how. Are you going to taste test this with the girls tonight? Or are you going to let sample?
Yes. And look, my wife will, Sandy will eat it because she knows I made it. And she'll eat it. But I'll watch her facial expression as a gauge. That'll be my gauge. If she makes like a face, where it's like, oh, you know, like, or she looks like she's hurting, then I'm not feeling as confident as I am right now.
You can't dial it back once it's done.
No, you can't take the spice out. I could say I put chipotle peppers in it, and there were seeds. There were seeds. Yeah.
This is risky. It's risky. You're all in here.
I'm all in.
When you opened up the show like that, saying, hey, it's getting real now, I'm thinking, okay, there's one of two directions you're going to go here. Okay, it's the chili cook-off. There's another.
The other thing I wanted to bring up right out the gate is just I wanted to get a check on my friend Gene. I wanted to make sure you're doing okay. How are the nerves? How are you feeling? This was something I think we could have all predicted. Honestly, we wouldn't be having this conversation if they won last night, but the Mets fall to the Gwinnett Stripers, and Gwinnett has a chance to now make the postseason.
No, Michael Harris is pretty good. Schwellenbacher. Okay, he's just a guy. He won the game less than. No, my concern is actually the weather. And I'm embarrassed to say, like, I get a text from our friend, Mike Catalana, today. He's like, why didn't they move the game up? I'm like, I'm oblivious. I'm not a weather nerd. Didn't know what was going on. I'm thinking, well, the game.
Could have fooled me, Count Hetsko. I thought for sure you would know what was going on.
I am not Count Hetsko.
How many inches of rain are they expecting in Atlanta over the course of the next 48 hours? 4, 5, 6 inches of rain?
Oh, it's only a matter of time before they send us a cease and desist. Would you not?
Well, you brought up Catalano. Yeah, we got to bring up Hetsko. Right.
Yeah, well, he was the first to alert me. Like, wait a second. There's actually a hurricane that's coming and barreling in for Florida, and the tail end of this is going to soak Georgia. Now, the hurricane's not going to hit land until Thursday, but there's going to be so much rain tonight. I don't see them playing tonight, and I don't see them playing tomorrow. So baseball, great job in not moving the game up, because that's not one but two games you would lose there. What would be the alternate? The Mets would have to go to Milwaukee and then fly back for a doubleheader on Monday before the wild card begins on Tuesday?
Yeah.
This is not fair.
This sucks.
This
is the drama that Major League Baseball wants. That Monday was supposed to be an off day, right?
Right.
No. No off days. We want an extra day. We want additional drama. We want it to come down to the last possible moment, and you're going to have to sweat it out, pal.
And okay, so let's review. Mets flying to Atlanta. They're going to sit around, wait. They won't get any games in. They got to fly up to Milwaukee, 3 games, assuming that they don't completely capsize and get swept in Milwaukee. And it's the Mets. I'm going to admit anything's possible.
Yeah.
Milwaukee is a playoff team. Okay, then you go back down to Atlanta. If you get through all that, then you either have to fly back to Milwaukee or to San Diego. That's where you would be playing. So again, review. Fly to Atlanta, fly to Milwaukee, fly to Atlanta, fly to San Diego, Milwaukee. All in under a week.
Setting up beautifully.
No! Just give me one postseason where I could just enjoy.
They could have just won last night. If they would have won last night, we're not having this conversation. You're feeling pretty good. You're a game and a half up if they win last night,
that's
right?
It's a half game. Now, the way you could back in is San Diego could sweep Arizona, and Arizona could go, they could completely fall out of it. Uh-huh. So there is a backdoor sort of thing, but
you don't like backing into the postseason, though, where you want to earn that postseason berth. That if they make the postseason with this adversity and all this travel and everything that's set up in front of them, if this hurricane hits the way we think it's going to hit, then that'll be that much more sweeter for you, Gene. Be that much more sweeter. They had to battle through the adversity. That's good.
The thing that upsets me. Well, there's a few. Tomorrow, 3:25, Thursday slot. Dan Fates, and Dan he set it up perfectly, like oh
no, the Braves aren't making it. Congratulations.
Congratulations, Gene. Congratulations. Mm-hmm. Just kind of pulling back. I'm not watching anymore. Mm-hmm.
Well, he probably isn't going to watch. I mean, that, you know.
Well, there's nothing to watch.
If the Braves do somehow find themselves in the postseason, it's not like you're going to be thinking, oh, this is the team that's going to win it all. You're going to be frustrated if you're a Braves fan watching them in the postseason, if they make the postseason.
The other thing, too, is that Chris Sale is going to be pitching against the Mets, too. So, if the Braves got in, it wouldn't surprise me, as you call them, Gwinnett, if they just made just a little bit of noise. Just a little
bit. Is that fair of me to call them Gwinnett? No. I mean, they're pretty much eviscerated from an injury standpoint. Like, it's been a horrible season for injuries for this team, right?
Okay, so to review, they lost their Cy Young candidate in Strider. Yeah. They lost their MVP in Acuna. And their third baseman, Austin Riley, found out this week, he could be leading the league in home runs. Well, no, because he's not coming back. Mm. So... Oh, and Ozzie Albies, too, their second baseman. So
All injured, all done.
All done.
Yeah, that's tough. And they still might make the postseason. You just should have won last night, Gene. That you needed last night. They needed to have last night. Oh, okay. I'm buckling in. I'm ready.
Okay, now that we got that out of the way, we've got a great show lined up for you.
We really do.
Yeah,
it's going to be fun. And look, I feel like our region is still basking in the afterglow of the Monday night win. I mean, you know, just kind of going through my feeds today and looking over what's happening, it's a lot of Bills love. It's a lot of, you know, the Mr. Brightside, and it's a lot of wives and girlfriends of the Buffalo Bills players showing off how much fun they had at the game, and the fans showing off how much, and the vibes are immaculate. There's a lot of that going on, and so you're feeling good about a team that started 3-0, and there's Josh Allen basically putting to rest anybody that's trying to create some kind of drama between he and Stephon Diggs with the comments that he's made about people wanting to be more about winning and less about stats.
That's kind of a lesson, right? It wasn't a question about anything. It was a question about diversifying the offense. That was just it. And you take out one little thing, it's like, is he talking about Diggs? And we talked about that yesterday. It's funny how, like, the national news media all of a sudden picked up on that today. And, oh, we're going to kind of advance this a little bit. This is called the Tuesday-Wednesday news cycle, where we got to kind of dig for nuggets there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it in any way was intentionally at Diggs. I'm taking it you think it was a little shaded.
I think that... You can't help it. Just by saying that, people are going to connect those dots. That you can't really win in that situation. You could say what he said, excuse me, and if there's no Stephon Diggs in your history, then it makes sense. But because you had Diggs in your history, saying that automatically lets people connect the dots and say, well, not just Diggs, Gabe Davis as well. I mean, Davis might have been, we don't know. These were guys that were team captains last year for this team. Vocal guys who wanted to be alphas. And we heard last year those two basically complimenting each other in the hopes that, let's face it, they can get more money, make more money, get bigger contracts, whether it was with the Bills or with another team. You remember that, right? Steph Diggs saying, oh, Gabe Davis is going to be a number one wide receiver. Gabe Davis saying, oh, Steph Diggs is a number one wide receiver. They're gone. They're gone. And so with them being gone, with the guys that you have now, the national media calling them just a bunch of no-name guys that are out there and producing. And if you're Josh Allen, you want to give them credit, by default, it's going to seem like you're slighting the people that aren't there anymore. You're having a success with these guys that aren't named Gabe Davis and Steph Diggs. So he can't really win, and you can say what he said today, which I think makes up for it, which is like, I love 14. I'll always love 14. He's great. There's nothing there. We don't have to tear somebody down to build somebody up. And that's the right thing to say.
Okay, so he says this now. Let's jump ahead to this time next week. Is anybody going to say anything, or are we going to have any little bombshell or anything? Because to me, if there's a story in the works, you're releasing that next week for clicks, right? Like when the Bills go down to Houston.
Yes. This is almost like the tease for what we're going to get, a full-blown onslaught of leading into Houston. It's all going to be Diggs and Allen. It's that's the storyline going into week 5.
I just think that if people are waiting for something salacious, I think you might be disappointed. I thought, okay, there's GQ, there's the writer, here it comes, and
Yeah.
No, it was.
I think they're both going to handle it the way they've handled it up to this point. I don't think there's going to be anything. But everybody will try to make it something. Everybody will try to make it Allen versus Diggs.
Diggs is a pro.
Yeah.
People call diva wide receiver. No, he's a pro. At the end of this, we can recognize it wasn't a good fit. That happens a lot. If you have a partner, okay, and it didn't work out for whatever reason, just not a good fit, where maybe it worked out a few years ago, it worked for the time that it worked. It burned brightly.
Yep.
And the chemistry right now for the Bills, it's immaculate. Yes. It's immaculate. Yes. And you'd say, what changes? And we're all looking at, well, there's the obvious thing that changed right there.
Yeah, that's the easy thing to point to. Yes, you could say addition by subtraction. You could say we is greater than me. You could say all of that. And the reality is it's probably a bunch of things, not just one thing, not just Diggs isn't on the roster anymore. Josh Allen's able to focus. No, it's also Khalil Shakir hauling in a record-tying 27 straight targets. It's him playing at a high level. It's also James Cook finding another. It's also Joe Brady, you know, giving defenses looks where you can throw anything at them. You have no idea what they're getting, right? Extra linemen on the field, doesn't matter. They're clicking. And Brady and Allen have a thing happening right now where, you know, Diggs didn't need to be a part of it. He wasn't a part of it last year, let's face it. He was on the team, but he wasn't really a part of it. Mm-hmm. And so next week, everybody will try to make something of that. But I don't know that you're going to get anything from either of them other than love. We love them, love him, love. Before we get to Houston, we got a game on Sunday night. We're going to talk Bills Ravens this afternoon with the host of the Locked On Ravens podcast. That's Kevin Ostreicher. He's going to join us right around 4:25.
So let's review the Ravens season. Exciting opening night, right? Everything you would want. And hey, they're going to go for two. Oh, wait. That touchdown didn't count. Tough loss in Kansas City. No problem. They're going home to take on the Raiders. Terrible loss to Vegas. Absolutely. Cannot happen in your home opener. And then Baltimore hanging on. Like, if you watch that game against Dallas, like, wait a second. If there were five more minutes on the clock, Baltimore loses that game. Yeah. I'm thoroughly convinced.
They were hammering Dallas for most of that game. And then at the end, it felt like they took their foot off the gas. There are some injuries to the offensive line that we want to get into with Ostreicher. He's going to join us at 4:25. We'll get the latest out of the Ravens. And a season that, let's face it, week one, you're a toe away from winning that game. A toenail away from winning that game. And I wonder how much the season looks, how different the season looks for the Ravens if they get that week one win. And maybe it doesn't look any different. Maybe it looks exactly the same.
No, but it's funny how two games in, this is what's great about the NFL, the Ravens where they were last year, number one seed. you spotted the Chiefs, and now we can say the Bills. Okay, Steeler fans are saying, us too. Yeah, okay,
yes.
Everybody else,
yes.
You've spotted them two games here.
That's right.
At least the Steelers in the division. What are the Ravens all about? Here's my concern. Derrick Henry. Mm-hmm. Derrick Henry, I mean, I still have nightmares of Derrick Henry shoving Josh Norman into outer space. So, it seems like a read option that could work. Does it need? Do the Ravens need to overcomplicate this against Buffalo? Are the Bills, I mean, they've proven they can be physical, but can they rise to the occasion in Baltimore?
I'll tell you what, man, that week one game in Kansas City, I think that was the most physical football game I've seen this season so far. And I haven't watched every game, but that game was physical. The Ravens were physical. The Chiefs were beating the hell out of each other in that game. And, I wonder how much of that game wiped the Ravens out for week two and the loss to the Raiders.
Shouldn't have that extra time.
Yeah, I get it. But, man, Sean McDermott earlier on defending Lamar Jackson, something that he's been having some success with in recent years.
Yeah, a challenge. It's always a challenge, you know, even when you have veteran players. And so with our new players that are playing this year that have never played against Lamar, it'll be an adjustment for them. And then just, you know, trying to get them to understand the techniques that you have to use and how on point you have to be. And you're never going to stop a player like that. He's just too good. And you know, you just hope that you can win more than you lose in terms of the plays. But they're just so powerful, as I said, and then he's just so explosive.
We'll talk to Kevin Oestreicher, the Locked On Ravens podcast at 425.
How long was that soundbite?
That was 35 seconds on defending Lamar Jackson. Any lies told?
No, the lie detector didn't go off.
Yeah.
This is serious. This is a tough week coming up here.
Yeah, you know it. He's not pouring it on. We'll talk not just pro football, but college football and get some winners for this weekend's action. PJ Glasser, the host of Send It In on the BetQL Network and the free-to-download Odyssey app and on YouTube and Twitch.
Oh, yeah. Have you seen the schedule here coming up? Alabama, Georgia?
I'm ready.
Alabama is a home underdog.
I am ready.
First time since, what are they saying? 17? Yeah, I mean, it's fantastic, and this is what we wait for in college football. We'll get PJ's take on this. He's got some other tips for us here as we're going to make our wagers.
I'm going to make a giant bowl of leftover chili. I'm going to go out in the garage. The screen is still up. I'm going to watch Saturday night with a big bowl of chili and my dog. That's my Saturday night. How's that sound?
I haven't even. Is that a night game? I haven't. I shame on me.
I believe it is a 7:30 kickoff.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah. So PJ will stop by and we'll get his take. Some winners here coming up in just a couple few. Thank you for joining us. By the way, we appreciate you stopping by the Sports Bar. However, you may be listening, we're at 95.7 FM and AM 950 here locally. You can find the Fan Rochester, where we sound our best, in the free to download Odyssey app. That's AUDACY. Download that and you can take us with you everywhere you go. You can get us on your smart device when you ask it to play 95.7 The Fan, and YouTube and Twitch as well. On YouTube, our channel, The Fan Rochester. On Twitch, streaming at The Fan Rochester as well. We appreciate you liking, subscribing, sharing it with a friend, and putting a little wind in the sails of our pirate ship. PJ Glasser, Send It In on the BetQL Network and the Odyssey app. Stopping by next with his picks for this weekend on The Fan.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
The Fan Rochester Sports Update.
You've heard this before. Josh Allen has been named the AFC Offensive Player of the Week, 13th time in his career. He's been honored. 4 first-half touchdown passes in the win over Jacksonville. But now it's on to Baltimore. Head coach Sean McDermott on the challenge of facing Lamar Jackson.
He's a reigning MVP in the NFL for a reason, right? So that, I think, is a one-liner that says it all. They were the number one seed, had the best record in football last year, and it's driven by him. And he's just an incredible athlete, incredible player.
Corner Kyer Elam did not practice today. Elam has a sore neck. We'll talk to our betting expert, PJ Glasser from the BetQL Network, joins us next. Nestor Cortes of the Yankees, he's been scratched tonight. He's going to have an MRI on his elbow tomorrow. Mets and Braves, game tonight in jeopardy. Heavy rain in Georgia. Gene Battaglia, the sports leader, The Fan Rochester.
The beer is cold and the wings are hot. You're in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
Full slate of college and pro football to look forward to this weekend. Week four in the NFL gets underway tomorrow night. Look at Sunday's action in the NFL and Saturday's action as well in college football with our buddy PJ Glasser. He is the host of Send It In on the BetQL network, and also your Odyssey Sports Betting Insider. And insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. PJ, we've got some winners from last weekend that we're feeling good about. We want more this weekend. We can always count on you. We can always count on your method, your formula, your madness as we look ahead to this weekend's action, and it starts on Saturday. Let's take a look at Auburn, Oklahoma to start us off. What do you say, bud?
Yeah, guys, this game's going to be interesting. You got two teams that are pretty similar. Both teams very good on defense, but both are kind of looking for their answer at quarterback. You know, last week, Auburn went to a freshman who threw three picks in the first half. I think they're going to go back to Peyton Thorne. Oklahoma against Tennessee, Jackson Arnold started that game, and then they brought in another quarterback as well who's going to start for them this week, Michael Hawkins. So both teams are very similar. Auburn is just one of those tough places to play, and I think for a quarterback making its first career start on the road in the SEC at Jordan-Hare, I'll take Auburn this week. Plus the points. It's going to be an ugly, low-scoring, sloppy game. I'll take the Tigers at home.
We've got an interesting one. Well, we've got a few interesting ones coming up in primetime. One of them I want to ask you about. A lot of Penn State fans in our area, PJ. They're coming off a shutout win and, you know, excitement indeed. But they're taking on Illinois. And the line I'm looking at right now, Penn State at home, favored by 19. In your opinion, is that too much?
I don't think it is, guys. I mean, look, this is one of those games I think the line's telling you a lot, right? You got two, it's a top 20 matchup. Illinois just had a huge win on the road against Nebraska. So they beat a ranked team. They're undefeated. And I think on the surface, you look at this game and you're saying, top 20 matchup, and I'm getting close to 20 points with the underdog. There's a reason Penn State's favored by this many, though. You know, Nebraska is one of those teams that they're great as an underdog. They're not good when they're laying big numbers. Penn State's the opposite, especially when you get them in these kind of games. You don't want to bet Penn State when they're going up against Michigan or Ohio State, but you want to bet them against teams like this, against the Illinois, the Iowas, the Minnesotas. I think Illinois is going to have a really tough time moving the ball in this game. Number opened up at 17. Gene, as you mentioned, it's close to 19. I think there's a reason that line keeps going up. So I like Penn State by at least three touchdowns. I'd lay it with the Nittany Lions.
What about Duke and North Carolina? We know that this matchup doesn't mean as much in football as it does in basketball. And we played some Duke football last week with Middle Tennessee. And Duke easily wiping Middle Tennessee in that 15-point spread from last Saturday. Which direction are you leaning here?
Oh, can I guess? Let me catch it. Okay, my channel. Guys, I love the
Don't do the impersonation. Don't insult our guests with the impersonation.
PJ, if I'm totally wrong, either on the impression or my take here, let me know. Guys, North Carolina last week, absolutely embarrassing, losing James Madison. They should have never done it. This is a really bad PJ impression, but I like North Carolina getting points at Duke in a bounce back.
When did PJ become Roz from Monsters, Inc.?
Yeah, the impression not good, Gene, at all. But the analysis is spot on.
Yes.
I do like the Tar Heels. Guys, Duke's undefeated, but they're a fraud, undefeated. You know, they just got by Northwestern. They beat a bad UConn team. And then last week against Middle Tennessee, I mean, guys, Middle Tennessee fumbled three times in the first quarter. So they really let Duke off the hook. They were trailing 7-0 in that game. And then just three fumbles in a row, and Duke kind of took over. So, look, as he said, it's not the same as it is on the hardwood, but it's still a rivalry game. These schools are 8 miles apart from each other. UNC just gave up 70 points to James Madison. So I think people look at this game, they see an undefeated Duke team, and they see a North Carolina team that just gave up 70 against JMU. The spread's only 2.5. I'll take Mack Brown in the heels to keep that game close. I think they can win it outright.
Oh, and that now comes like what we would equate to like the 5-star restaurant. Here we go. Last Saturday night in September, you get Alabama as a home underdog, PJ, against Georgia. Minus 2 points. I have no idea. I'm not going to guess which way you're leaning on this. What are your thoughts on Georgia-Alabama?
So, guys, it's tough. You know, in the summer, I was on my show, Send It In, and I said I liked Bama plus the 3.5 in the game of the year line because I thought the narrative coming into the game was now that Saban's retired, everybody thinks that Georgia's going to roll in the SEC. They're going to be the new Bama, right? Things are trending that way. Like, wouldn't it just be so college football? Wouldn't it be so sports for Bama to win this game and people to be like, oh, my God, Saban's gone and Georgia still can't beat Alabama, right? But it feels like now heading into this matchup, Bama's looked impressive. They rolled Wisconsin. Georgia really struggled with Kentucky. They easily could have lost that game. And now it feels like a lot of people like Bama in the matchup. I will stick with my Bama pick, guys. Georgia, they got some questions at their skill positions. You know, there's no Brock Bowers. There's no Ladd McConkey on this team. Their O-line hasn't looked great. Even though their defense has been incredible, they haven't given up a touchdown all year. I think Bama scores just enough. I like the under in this game because of how good Georgia's defense is. And then on the other side, because I think Georgia's still struggling to find who their go-to guys on offense are, I think this will be like a 23-20 game. I'll take Bama to win it.
All right, let's shift gears to Sunday's action in the NFL, PJ. And you want to start with the Cardinals and the Commanders, where Jaden Daniels has arrived.
He sure has, guys. And you know me. You probably know which way I'm leading in this game. Everywhere you turn on, every TV show, radio show you listen to, everybody loves Jaden Daniels, right? I mean, 3 games into his career, they're talking Offensive Rookie of the Year. They're talking future MVP, best quarterback maybe in the NFC East already, a Commanders, a surprise playoff team. But, guys, you know I love fading big emotional wins, right? Look at Tampa Bay last week. Look at how they go on the road, beat Detroit, and then they lay an egg against Denver. Look at the Raiders. They have that big win against Baltimore, come home and lay an egg against Carolina. How can you not love the Cardinals in this spot? Short week for Washington, coming off a huge primetime win. And the Cardinals have a mobile quarterback of their own, right? Kyler Murray. So the Cardinals' defense has been playing much better ever since that game against the Bills, you guys, in week 1. I think they're going to show much more resistance against Washington than Cincinnati did. Everybody's talking about how great Daniels was in that game, and he was spectacular. But we're still not talking enough about the fact that Washington's defense really didn't stop Cincinnati that much either. I think the Cardinals' D will be able to get some stops. I think their offense will be able to score. I'd lay the 3, 3.5 with Arizona.
BJ, a game we'll be watching the late window is the Chiefs at the Chargers. Line I'm looking at here, Chiefs giving 7.5, and I'm just kind of – looking to you here, because first question I have is, okay, who's going to be a quarterback? If it's Herbert, does hobble Herbert matter? If Heineke goes in, what are your thoughts about this matchup here?
Fellas, this is just one of those any given Sunday type games, right? I think it's very similar to Rams and 49ers last week. Similar spread, divisional game, big home underdog. I mean, gee, not only are the Chargers going to be without Herbert, they're missing their 2 tackles, Alton Slater. Derwin James is suspended for this game. Like, there's nothing to like with the Chargers in this matchup for the fact that it's a divisional football game. Chiefs-Chargers games are always close. You know Harbaugh's going to have his team prepared. They're going to run the football. And, like, the Chiefs obviously win a ton, guys, but it doesn't feel like they really blow that many teams out, right? Like, they just find these ways to win games at the end. So we know how unbelievable big dogs have been so far in the NFL through 3 weeks. I think the Chargers are going to be a team that a lot of people are scared away from because of all the injuries. But, man, anything over 7, guys, 7.5, 8, I like L.A. to keep it close.
All right, what about the Seahawks visiting Detroit, taking on the Lions, where they look to remain undefeated as one of the surprise 3-0 teams in the NFL, PJ?
So I like Seattle, Danger. I would wait to bet it, though. Right now it's pretty much 3.5 across all sports books because it's a Monday night game. And Detroit, you know, they won last week and they covered. I think there are going to be a lot of Lions money coming in on Monday. But I like Seattle in this situation. Guys, Mike McDonald is a real deal. Seattle's head coach. He is such a good defensive mind. And I'm still a little concerned about the Lions. You know, yes, they won and covered last week against Arizona. They didn't score a point in the second half. So something's not right with Detroit right now. Their offense has not looked like we thought it would up to this point. I think coming back home, you know, only 3.5-point favorites. Seattle's got to fly across the country. A lot of people are going to like Detroit. But Mike McDonald last year, guys, when the Ravens played Detroit, they shut down that Lions offense. I think he's going to have another really good game plan this week. So I like Seattle. Wait for that line to come out because I think we'll be able to get a 4, 4.5 with the Seahawks.
So, PJ, when I went on your program yesterday, you know my concern about this game is that, yes, the Bills have done a really nice job here against the run. However, at some point, the toll of not having Milano and Bernard and Taron Johnson, for that matter, this is where it might show up here. But then I look at Baltimore and I'm thinking, wait a second. How'd you lose to the Raiders? And I'm convinced there were 5 more minutes left in that game against Dallas that Baltimore would be 0-3, but it's not the way the world works, as we know. PJ, how do you view this week? Bills at Ravens, Ravens giving 2.5.
Gene, I like the Ravens in the first half, minus a half point for everything you just said. I don't want anything to do with that Ravens defense in the second half in the fourth quarter. As you guys know, the last time these two teams played in Baltimore, Ravens were up like 17-0, 20-3 in that game, and then the Bills came all the way back, right? Like, I could see a similar thing happen where the Ravens are up double digits, and then for whatever it is, man, I mean, they've been doing this the last couple years. Their defense just collapsed in the fourth quarter. Lamar's 15-5 against the spread in the first half in his last 20 regular season games. And the Ravens under John Harbaugh, 20-3 straight up in primetime games, guys. They're really, really tough to beat at home in prime time. So I think they're going to get off to a fast start. You know, obviously the Bills look great against the Jags, but this is a step up in class going against Lamar and the Ravens. So I think this game comes down to the wire. I think the Bills are a great teaser leg this week at +8.5. I don't want to touch the full game. I just want to bet the Ravens the first 30 minutes. I think they'll be up 7-10 points at halftime. And then Josh Allen and the Bills will probably make a comeback, and we'll see if that Ravens defense can hold on.
Yeah, and they didn't really show much bite at the end of that Cowboys game last week, did they, PJ?
They did not. It's ridiculous, you know. And Tom Rinaldi of Fox was interviewing Lamar after the game, and Lamar was talking about when they were up 28-6 that – you know, they want to – he felt like they should have stepped on their throat right there, you know, put their foot on the gas and finish the game. I think it's a Harbaugh thing, guys. I really do. Like, for whatever reason, they get up and then he kind of just, like, pulls them back a little bit. And that's why Ravens fans are just – they're not happy with Harbaugh. And they want to change for that reason because this just happens time and time again. They lose games that they shouldn't. And then, obviously, you know, in big games, they just stop – abandoning the run and don't run the football. So it's a big concern, and I think the Bills are a great live bet this week too. You know, if the Ravens are up double digits in the second half, definitely look to live bet the Bills because I think they're going to have a comeback in them.
Fantastic stuff from PJ Glasser, who you can hear Monday through Thursday on the BetQL Network as well as Saturday. PJ, tell everybody about the Saturday show too.
Saturday, me and Ryan Horvath, BetQL tailgate kickoff college football show, guys. We're having a nice start to the season, so we run through all the games on the Saturday slate, trying to give out some winners. And then Sunday, too, I got my show from National Harbor, myself, Nick Ashew, Inside the Betting Line. You can watch both shows, twitch.tv/BetQL and YouTube/Odyssey Sports, guys. So college football, NFL, we do it all.
PJ, great having you on with us. Appreciate the insight. Let's get some winners this weekend.
Absolutely, guys. Good talking to you.
You got PJ Glasser, the host of BetQL's Send It in the free-to-download Odyssey app and insider calls presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM.
See, that's why we bring on PJ, because I'm thinking, oh, Penn State, that's way too many points, 19. No, that's legit. I'm like, okay, good. Got to fire everybody up.
Yeah, I mean, if you're at Happy Valley and you route Illinois, you're feeling pretty good about your chances of securing one of those playoff berths, right? I mean, like your Big Ten schedule is manageable. You get past Illinois, you build some confidence in the end of your schedule here. You know, get a little bit tougher, and yeah, I think Penn State can cover that 19.
One of the games we did not ask PJ about, and that is going to be coming up tomorrow night, Dallas and the Giants. It's cliche, but I just hope for a good game. But with the Giants in prime time, we used to say Kirk Cousins, oh, prime time Kirk, he's terrible. Well, up until last week, he had won 4 of his last 5. You know what Daniel Jones is? Daniel Jones in prime time. 1-12. Like, that's going to all of a sudden, that trend's going to reverse here?
He's a conundrum to me. I think to myself, he's not good. And then you'll see him in a game like he was last week, and you're like, all right, well, maybe he's not bad. I really don't know what to make of Daniel Jones, but when you have that kind of a record in primetime, it becomes fairly certain. Oh, yeah, no, maybe he's not that good. Did you see that this is going to be the first time ever that the Cowboys are playing a short week road game?
Doesn't sound right, but you think, well, they're always home on Thanksgiving, and then they always get the full week the following.
That's right.
That's incredible.
Yep. Every other NFL team has done it at least 6 times. The Cowboys have never done it. This will be the first time.
Okay. You know what this was? This was Amazon saying, hey, we're paying all this money, and you're not going to give us Dallas. You can give Dallas at home. Wow. That just tells me the networks really love themselves some Dallas Cowboy football, and let's not put them in a bad spot.
Yeah, the Cowboys are certainly ratings gold, and you'll get eyeballs. But the other part of this, and the reason why this hasn't happened for the Cowboys, is the Thanksgiving game. They've with the Lions, that they've had more Sunday to Thursday games than any other team because of their annual tradition of playing on Thanksgiving and being the teams on Thanksgiving every year.
So by short week, are we talking about Sunday to Thursday? Because I was going to say, there had to be an instance where the Cowboys were at home on a Monday night and then they have to go on the road the following week.
Yeah, this is the first time that it's happened for the Cowboys where they've had to go on the road. But they have gotten a little bit of favor here because of all the Thanksgiving games. And for them to be on a Thursday night, yes, they can be on a Thursday night. That's obviously happened, but they're usually the home team for those Thursday night matchups.
Can I get a verdict, too? Hot uniform talk, they're going to go with the white helmets in this.
I don't mind the white helmets. Yeah, when the Cowboys go alternate, it really doesn't bother me. Whatever alternates they throw out there, I'm fine with. They're usually, for me, aside from the fact that you hate the team, it's kind of like, aesthetically, it doesn't bother me. It kind of goes with everything.
It's that 60s throwback or whatever.
Yeah.
It's not the Troy Aikman alternate that one I don't like.
That's right. No, that'll be fine. Are the Giants going to wear the Montreal Canadiens, though?
The Montreal Canadiens and the Michigan Wolverines had a child.
Yeah, that didn't go well week one. I don't know that.
No.
Those are making another appearance, I want to say.
Not this game, no.
But this season. Will we see it again this season, or was that it?
That was it. I mean, if you were playing the Cowboys, you should be wearing your own uniforms. Like, that's the way I view it.
If they wore the 80s throwbacks, I'm okay with the Giants 80s throwbacks. With the Giants on the helmet and the Lawrence Taylor era.
Yeah,
I'd be good with those. Yeah, Daniel Jones in prime time. Buckle up. And let's see if the Cowboys can bounce back from... they had some momentum at the end of the Ravens game, but man, they got pummeled against the Ravens on Sunday. We'll take a break and come back with more next on the Fan Rochester. There's a star player, and he's not producing at the level that I think many expect him to produce at. And nobody's really pointing out the one obvious element of this player's life that could alter the way he's been playing football. Nobody's talking about it. It's almost as if they're afraid to mention why he might not be the same player that he has been in the past. I'll explain.
Okay. I think we should dive into this UNLV quarterback story.
Oh, because, yes.
Yeah, so like, who cares about it? No, there's a lot of layers to this one, folks. Trust me when I tell you this.
So there's a UNLV quarterback who basically said, I'm done playing. I didn't get what I was promised in NIL.
Correct. First of all, yeah, so UNLV starts out 3-0. This kid goes through the portal, played at Holy Cross last year, and Holy Cross being a subdivision team, hey, I've got an opportunity to play, you know, up a level here, and actually I could get paid. Okay, so what was promised? Is this the right move? And there's a lot of blame to assess here. And actually, Danger, I'm just kind of wondering, are we not going to hear more stories like this?
We'll dive into that and more. We'll get Kevin Ostreicher, the Locked On Ravens podcast, joining us in the 4 o'clock hour as well here on The Fan.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan Rochester.
The best local sports talk in the Flower City. One Bills Live in The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Weekday afternoons on The Fan Rochester.
I wanted to touch on this story out of UNLV because I think it's an interesting one and could be a bit groundbreaking.
There's so many angles to this, and as we're kind of getting, as UNLV has just put out a statement too, which we will get to. So to get everybody up to speed, okay, and again, this is a story worth monitoring because, well, it's probably not the only place this is going on. Matthew Sluka, okay, he was at Holy Cross last year, had a good season. Hey, let me go through the portal, which he does, and he ends up at UNLV. And hey, the Rebels, they start off 3-0. Today, this quarterback quit the team. This to preserve a year of eligibility. Now, Sluka said he was promised $100,000 to come to UNLV, this by an assistant coach. Well, turns out the payment was only $3,000. The NIL collective at UNLV is called Blueprint Sports, okay? So Blueprint Sports puts out a statement saying, we never made an offer like this, okay? So they're denying this. This is the Wild West danger. And yes, this kid had an agent. Question number one. Why, I would ask the agent, wasn't there anything in writing? UNLV is getting killed for this, as probably they should, but in the NFL, agents are certified. I don't know the background to this agent, okay? But all I know is this, they didn't do their job, right? Also, why the secrecy with NIL? If you were a top recruit, wouldn't you want to know exactly what you were getting paid?
That's something that will be interesting to see here in the years to come. It would be fascinating to know what a college athlete at a football player at Alabama makes versus what a football player at, say, Syracuse makes. I mean, that's where we're headed, right? You've got agents representing these kids trying to get the most dollar for their client, the most dollars for the client. It's a matter of time before we learn just how much these student athletes are making. UNLV puts out their statement. It reads, football player Matthew Sluka's representative made financial demands upon the university and its NIL collective in order to continue playing. UNLV Athletics interpreted these demands as a violation of the NCAA pay-for-play rules as well as Nevada state law. UNLV does not engage in such activity, nor does it respond to implied threats. UNLV has honored all previously agreed upon scholarships for Matthew Sluka. UNLV has conducted its due diligence and will continue to operate its programs within the framework of NCAA rules and regulations, as well as Nevada state laws.
So do you think the kid and the agent, or the agent, was this the plan? Like, hey, we're 3-0 and we're not getting paid, and this is good. You pay us or we're going to walk?
Or we've gotten something, but we haven't gotten
enough.
Yeah, and like, do I believe that an assistant coach told him, hey, there's potential for you to make six figures here as our starting quarterback?
No doubt about it. You're in Vegas. You win here. You're going to do this. Oh,
that's
we
right.
Only have three up. The local story I can kind of, you know, and this is a business story, Danger, and this happens a lot in show business, okay? Do you remember Comics Cafe?
Oh, Comics Cafe, of course.
Yeah, so I can tell this story because that's out of business, and the person involved in this, unfortunately, is no longer with us. So this is going back years, and I know this for a fact because I was their advertising rep. Robert Schimmel, really funny comic, okay?
I met him. He's no longer with us. You're right. He was really funny.
Yeah, and he would have jokes that like, yeah, he was kind of a little off color, but he'd have jokes about his daughter killed in a car wreck in 2010. So this is going back a couple decades. He is lined up at the Comics Cafe, sellout crowd, and I'm there. And, okay, when's the show going to start? When's the show going to start? When's the show? Finally comes out. Yay! And Schimmel was great. You know, show that was remembered. Turns out, behind the scenes, Danger, he said to Comics Cafe, you know what? You promised X number. You oversold this. F you. I'm not coming out of my hotel room unless you pay me $5,000 in cash now.
Yeah.
So what do you do if you're Comics Cafe? Are you going to send everybody home and say, sorry, refund everybody? You're renegotiating on the fly.
Yeah.
Like, wow, that happens all the time. So when I heard that, I'm like, wow, that really is kind of a scummy business.
You want to know my quick Robert Schimmel story? Because sure. I think I remember meeting him when he was in town for that show. He was roaming through the hallways, and he might have done a hit on Spisano's show on PXY back in the day. And he's going through the hallways, and I get introduced to him. And I'm actually a fan. I've got a couple of his stand-up albums, and I remember hearing and liking his work. And for some reason, well, I know the reason. I said, it was really nice as I'm saying goodbye to him. It's like, it's really nice to meet you, David.
Oh, no.
David Schwimmer, Robert Schimmel. And he kind of looks at me, and he kind of gives me like this S-eating grin. He's like, Robert. And he just walks away. I'm like, oh, what was... I could be such an airhead sometimes. But I thought David Schwimmer, Robert Schimmel, I called him David instead of Robert. God rest his soul. He was funny. He was a funny dude.
Yeah, and you know, and David Schwimmer went on to great things.
He really did go on to great things.
Got it, Juice. When Chris and I broke up, the Juice was there for me every night. It's like he's not really the Juice anymore. We got to get you dressed, Juice. Juice, Juice, a will? Juice, Juice, Juice. Come on, Juice. Juice! Juice, it's AC. Juice! AC's here.
Juice. I heard Juice. It's on every channel. You know I feel the same, Juice.
You're going to tell them yourself, Juice.
Juice.
Juice. Your whole family's here, Juice. She's on the house phone waiting to talk to you, Juice.
Juice.
Okay, Juice?
Okay, Juice. We're good to go.
You're home, Juice.
You know Uncle Juice, and your Uncle Juice... Your Uncle Juice is a good man.
He's never going to stop being the Juice.
It could explain a lot, Juice. Just hear him out, Juice.
He's right, Juice.
Listen, Juice. Juice, Juice, this is your life. Juice, Juice, please, Juice. Juice, we need an answer.
Robert Schimmel, David Schwimmer, don't ever give me a reason to play every instance of David Schwimmer as Robert Kardashian saying the word Juice in The People versus O.J. Simpson, because I'll take it.
So how could we get from UNLV to the Juice?
There you have it.
There you go.
Thanks for bringing up that local story. That's a great tie-in. It's a great analogy.
Is that what happened?
I think that's what's going on here. I think, one, you didn't have anything in writing. Red flag number one. Like, you got to get everything in writing now, right? You're talking about these college athletes are going to need contracts. At some point, I know everybody wants to talk about it, and there's a lot of, you know, under-the-table dealings and Yes, we'll do that. Got to get it in writing. If it's not in writing, assume it's not going to happen. And representation needs to step their game up. It's more work, and it's more litigation, and it's more, you know, fees and all that. But you got to do it. And then, yeah, I think this is like every day that passes, every year that passes, we're going to find out more and more about these programs, the money that's coming in, and there's enough of it coming in where they should disclose all of it. And by the way, if the school is promising you something and it means you have to sit out to get their attention, to get what they told you they were going to give you, good for him. Good for him. It's not like the school is going to cry poverty, like, oh, we can't afford to pay him the $100,000.
Okay, yeah, good for him, but now he's got to go find another school and another job. And
do
I know
you think he'll be able to do it? I think he'll be able to do it. He'll be just fine.
You were 3-0 for UNLV.
He'll be fine. Yeah, I think this is a kid that I want to say set a school record or a record for rushing yards by a quarterback in a game. He had like over 300 rushing yards for Holy Cross in a game. For what that's worth, I think if in order to get what you believe you were promised, If it means you have to sit out, or if it means you have to, you know, make a statement, I'm good with him making the statement. And I think he's going to be fine. And UNLV, if they did promise him something that he's not getting, shame on you. It's not like these universities are crying poverty. Saw this cross my feed, and I thought it was interesting. This is from former ESPN draft analyst Todd McShay. And he was a guest on Russillo's podcast. And he brought up a point on the slow start to Travis Kelce's season. And it's a point that it would appear a lot of people are afraid to bring up, because there is no way that Travis Kelce at his age can start the season and be productive given the off season that he's had. Let's kind of review here. He's been traveling the globe with the most famous person in the world. He's been partying on tour. He's been partying at the U.S. Open, cocktails, beers on the beach, whatever it is. He's in more commercials than any other player in the NFL. He's now acting in a serious grotesquerie, which is appropriate if you look at his stats through 3 weeks. Can we just say that the guy is out of shape? Are we not allowed to say that Travis Kelce is out of shape? I mean, he can get better as the season goes on, but it's almost as if anyone and everyone is afraid to criticize him because of what he's become. He's not the same player because he can't be the same player. He's set himself up for a lucrative life after football, but the partying all off season has him out of shape. And the coverage and the respect that he gets remains the same, but the athlete is not the same. He's one of the best to ever do it. He's a competitor. I'm sure by the middle of the season, he'll start to look better, but he isn't the same person. He isn't the same athlete that he was just two seasons ago.
Well, he's what, 33, 34 now? Like, yeah, it's going to end. Like, quarterbacks, I guess, can let go to 40 if they really put in the effort. But to his point, McShay's point, did he put in the effort this offseason? That's fair. And it's also fair to wonder, McShay, remember, he's former ESPN draft. He's not connected to any network that's broadcasting games.
Yeah, right.
When arguably the most powerful woman in show business could grace you this coming Sunday, say you're CBS, like, are you going to go there if you're Nance and Romo? Are you going to go there if you're Collinsworth? Are you going to go? No! No, you want the additional viewers. So I think there's a business side of this that people aren't talking about.
Now, let's be very clear, because the last thing you or I want, Gene, is a bunch of Swifties coming after us. I'm not blaming Taylor Swift for Travis Kelce's slow start.
You are the one person who survived this.
I'm not.
You did.
I'm not going to say anything negative about our country's royalty, okay? This is not her fault. He's an adult. He can make his own choices. He can make his own decisions. He has set himself up for a very lucrative post-NFL career. I don't fault him for that. But the decisions he has made this offseason make it almost impossible for him to be the same player he was just a couple of seasons ago. He's out of shape. Give it some time. He's still getting the same coverage. He's still getting the same respect by defenses. He's just not the same player. Maybe he will be by week 8, week 9.
Well, I don't think Gronk is a exact comp, but Gronk toward the end, gosh, like he'd be out weeks at a time. He was breaking down, and he didn't come back because that was it.
Let's take a break. We'll come back with more, including Kevin Oestreicher. He is the host of the Locked On Ravens podcast. And Gene, I know that there was a story out of Chicago that you wanted to get to as well.
Yeah, get to that too. I mean, you didn't do this with Sandy, thank goodness.
I can share what I did. Of course I didn't do this. This is poor form.
This guy last night. Like, read the room, buddy.
All right, we'll get to that and more next. Kevin Oestreicher joining us in about 20 minutes. Stay in the Sports Bar. Danger and Battaglia on The Fan.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.